Ephesians 6:2, honor your father and your mother. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, dwelling together with knowledge as with the weaker vessel with your female, bestow honor on her. So, and this is wives, honor your husband. So we see, let me say, first off, we're to honor, okay, get this, you guys, get this. We're to honor our mother and our father. That is the very, one of the first commandments. And it promises long life. Why? Why would God say that if a father's not even in the picture? Why would God say that if a parent is abusive? Because you got to understand God's way of doing things. Honor is choosing to put them in the position God has said they're to be in and then letting God work it out. Why? Because that keeps your heart from becoming rebellious. It keeps you from judging. It keeps you from falling into the same cycle and pattern of sin that your parents are in. So you honor for your protection, not because they deserve it. Wives, you honor your husband because it protects your heart from bitterness. It protects your heart from being in control. It stops the enemy from dishonoring your spouse in your thought life. It stops you from dishonoring your spouse when you speak, and you quit empowering dishonor or shame. And you have to ask the Lord to make this real in your heart. You have to ask the Lord to make this real in your heart, or it's just words. Okay? So we're to honor our mother and our father. We see where the wives are to honor their husbands. What does God say a husband's to do? How is God going to give him grace to do that? That's God's job, not yours. It's not about bondage. It's not about some of the terrible doctrine out there trying to make you be something. It's having faith that God is able to do this. So whatever the Lord says the husband should do, you honor God. You honor that husband in that and trust God. And then watch God give you wisdom. Watch God give you wisdom. If the husband isn't there, if there's a divorce or they never had the husband in the picture, you still honor that child's father. Same thing if the men to honor the mother. You honor them. What's that mean? Putting them in the position God calls them to. Doesn't mean you lie about it. It just means, you know, we're going to honor your father. We're not going to judge him. We're not going to talk bad about him. We're going to pray for him. We're going to believe for him to be who God's called him to be. Without undermining that relationship, okay? There's lots of teaching in all this. Some of you go, this, what is she talking about? Okay. So we're to honor or put in position our mother and our father. Now, if we didn't honor them as kids, we probably are reaping dishonor. Our kids are trying to shame us. You've got to get the heart that understands God wants to honor. Honor means putting them in position that God calls them to in your heart. Putting them in the position. And what it's saying is, okay, they may not have this going on right now. They may not have this going on right now, but God is big enough to have it happen. We have a faith, God, you guys. Come on. I don't care how bad you think that other person might be in your life that you don't honor. You know good and well if an angel showed up with a flaming sword and started talking to them, they would get it. God is able, and it's up to him if he sends an angel or not. You honor them as if God had already gotten them. Is everybody getting this? And you got to repent where you haven't honored, because where you haven't honored, you're reaping it in your life now. You're reaping it when your kid sasses you. You're reaping it when your child doesn't listen to what you're saying. You're reaping it when your husband doesn't give you any respect. You're reaping it when your employers or your employees don't give you the time of day. Are you getting what I'm saying? You will reap what you've sown. So if you sow honor, you're going to reap honor. If you sow shame, the enemy's going to try to shame you. And that shame can come in so many different ways. Let's get out of the traps of the enemy by being obedient to God and his word. And ask the Holy Spirit to heal you where you've been so hurt that it's hard to honor. And we got lots of teaching on this, a lot of teaching, a lot of things with inner healing or healing the broken places, is what Jesus called it. Go back to your childhood when you were shamed. Go back to your childhood when you couldn't honor because you didn't understand the principle of it. You didn't know the God and the grace behind it. And all you could do was take in hate or rejection or hurt and bitterness. And we've got a lot of teaching to help you, and it can't all happen in if the Holy Spirit comes into something wonderful. But God is a God of you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Because if he just sent a gigantic fireball and just burned all the junk out of us, which we'd all be thrilled about, many of you would go about your life as if you never had a problem, and they would all build back up seven times worse. So God in his mercy wants us to understand. Plus we'll understand the Lord more. Okay, who else are we supposed to honor? So I told you all the scriptures for honoring your parents. You're supposed to honor Jesus. In John 5:23. It says all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. So we should honor the Heavenly Father, and we should honor the Son. The Bible says the one not honoring the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So people who think that they're honoring God the Father, but they don't recognize Jesus Christ as Lord and Jesus Christ as God, and they don't give Jesus the honor due him, the Bible says they are dishonoring the Father by not honoring the Son. They're putting to shame, trying to put to shame the Father. Okay? See, it's important to know what God says, who we're to honor. Listen, this is kind of cool. John 12:26. If anyone serves me, the Lord Jesus, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will also be. And if anyone serves me, this is Jesus speaking, the Father will honor him. Wow. If we serve Jesus, that was John 12:26. If we honor Jesus, if we serve Jesus, if we serve Jesus, really serve him, the Father God himself is going to honor us. Isn't that amazing? He's going to put us in the position that he has for his sons and daughters. Okay. Now, Romans 2:10. Glory, honor, and peace will be to everyone working out good. Both the Jew first and the Greek. So everyone's going to receive the glory, the presence of God, the honor from God, and the peace of God if we work out good to everyone that God shows, as God does it. All right, Romans 12:10. In brotherly love one another, love fervently, having gone before one another in honor. We're to honor one another. And I have not done this, okay? I've asked the Lord to forgive me that we dealt with, and the series is out. What do you release into your atmosphere? Evil speaking and fault finding. This is very powerful. You have created your atmospheres. You have created the atmosphere in your home. You have created the atmosphere in your workplace. You have created the atmosphere in your car. You create your atmosphere. Don't blame anyone else, because if God lives inside of you, if you would yield and do things the way God says to do it, you create your atmosphere. See, Satan wants you to blame everyone else, because then poor you just hate everybody and blame everybody and try to change everybody and be the Holy Spirit for everybody and spend your whole life seeing nothing real. Or you can trust that God is real, that he is divine, that he has an invisible spirit, that he has angels, that he knows what he's doing, that none of your little problems are near that big a deal to him. And if you would begin to agree with him and understand him and embrace him and his word and his truth and quit acting like the world, you would change every single area of your life just by releasing God's presence and power into every situation. Rule number one of freedom in Christ: quit blaming anybody. And let God show you you. There's freedom in that. If I don't have to change my husband to have a wonderful marriage, wow. If I don't have to change each child before they can encounter God and have a good life, if I don't have to change the teachers, the pastors, the boss, if I can just resign trying to focus on everybody else's faults and changing them and yield to the working of God inside of my own heart, I will change the atmosphere. You want our nation to change? I'm talking to myself now too. We need to honor this president as the president, even as we pray for God to get a hold of his heart and change his antichrist policies. The ones, not all of them are, but some of them are. A lot of stuff against the church. Bible says to honor, he means it. God says to honor, he means it. Why? Because when we see how big God is and we place his, we put people in the place he calls them to, we begin to create an atmosphere for God to work that out. Romans 13:7, give to all their due, to the one due taxes, pay the taxes, to the one due tribute, give them tribute, to the one due fear, give them fear. And that's the kind of reverent fear. To the one due honor, give them honor. Oh, look at this one. 1 Corinthians 12:23. And those of the body that we think to be less honorable, these would be the people that the world wouldn't give much time to. These would be the people the world would say were misfits. These would be the people that maybe the enemy's given them foul spirits to make them not pleasant to be around. God says to those that we think to be less honorable, maybe people with lower IQs or who've had some kind of injury, those of the body that we think to be less honorable, or the world thinks is less honorable, to those we put more abundant honor around them. Wow. We're to recognize in a higher honor the person who maybe doesn't seem to have the same value in our world. Maybe their education or their ability to be educated isn't as great. Maybe their gifting, their potential, whatever. God says, place more honor around them. Why? Because God's going to bring them into that position he's called them to. He's going to destroy what Satan was trying to do. Now this one, you guys write down extra for me. Philippians 2:29. Receive the one who, it says, receive him in the Lord with all joy and hold the one in honor, the one who serves God. Listen to this one. 1 Thessalonians 4:4. And if you want this list, just go to eSword, write the word honor in, New Testament, these will all come up. And you just hit print and they print out for you. So you don't have to try to write them. Each one of you are to know how to possess your own vessel in sanctification and honor. God will give you grace to keep your own vessel in the position of honor he's called it to. Don't think your kids can't live holy lives. God says, if you teach them to honor themselves and to honor others and to honor their own bodies, they will put that body in that position. We need to break the power of shaming our children and then wondering why they get into shameful things. This isn't to put condemnation on you. This isn't, grown children have just as much ability to come to church and hear the truth and read the Bible and seek the Lord. And so, you know, they've just fallen into the same cycle of junk that you fell into. Okay, so this isn't about condemnation. This is about breaking generational curses. This is about everyone finding freedom. That's why it really would be great if you brought your teens on Tuesday nights. I mean, they can act like they hate it all they want, but it doesn't matter because, you know, we're the Bible calls us a field, okay? We're a field. Your children are fields, okay? F-I-E-L-D-S. There's something going to be planted in your children. Every single time they watch a commercial, every time they watch a television show, every time they hear a song, every time a teacher talks to them, there are things being planted in their lives. How much has God's truth and his word been planted in their life? Well, I'm going to wait till they're grown and they can make their own decision. Well, they're going to have a lot of hard time making a good decision if there's been nothing sown into their life of truth. It's important what you sow, and then it's important what you take out. We're to honor God once again, 1 Timothy 1:17. 1 Timothy 5:3, we're to honor true widows. And then listen to what he goes on about that. 1 Timothy 5:5. Honor the one being the true widow, even having been left alone, who has set her hope on God and continues in petitions and prayers night and day. Take care of them, honor them. Don't just leave them on their own. Okay, now here's one for you guys. This is for you guys, for me again, okay? And Terry, 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders who take the lead well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and teaching. Double honor. It'll put me up really high so God can bring me into that place. It's for those who do it well, though, okay. Now listen to this one. For those with bosses and employees and employers, let as many as are slaves under the yoke, in other words, those who have to work for someone else, count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name and teaching of God may not be blasphemed. That reference was 1 Timothy 6:1. If you absolutely cannot have grace to be where you're at, leave it. Instead of, don't begin to be dishonoring and shame, because you're going to reap that. But ask for grace. If you absolutely are not where you're supposed to be, ask the Lord to bring you into another place. But he's not going to move until you begin to honor with your words. Are you getting this? This is a lifestyle change, okay? I'm teaching you not only what the word says, but why it says that, and how the Holy Spirit wants to make that real. And it works starting right away, but it takes a while before your faith grows to a place to watch it all come to pass.